Blood and Barrels discuss cases that contain graphic content.
And Mike has a potty mouth.
So does Amy.
Nah.
Listener discretion is advised. What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Blood and Barrels. I'm Mike.
I'm Amy.
And we had a crazy busy weekend.
We did. It's been a minute.
I know.
Even though we just got through the holidays, it feels like it's been a minute since we've had a weekend as crazy as we did this weekend.
I agree. Well, you know, I don't generally count the holidays because you expect those to be busy, but yeah, this one was, it was a little crazy.
I mean, true. I do feel like it's partially our fault for having children so close to holidays.
Yeah, all the birthdays are like right around, well, not all of them, but
no,
like,
they all are.
Well, Matt's is like right before Christmas. We got another one in January right after Christmas.
Matt's is exactly a week before Christmas.
Madison's is on Cinco de Mayo, but that's not quite as much big of a problem, really.
No, but it's still a holiday, and the Floon's is like right there with Father's Day.
True.
Like,
I don't know how that worked out, but yeah, they're all on holidays.
Yeah. We just have holiday babies.
It happens. Yeah. I don't know how that. No, I don't. I mean, it does. Obviously. I just don't know how that happened because we did not plan any of that.
No, so. We sure did not. But we did. That being said,
That being said,
We had the princess's birthday party and she, I think, scored big time.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Well, and she basically, like, ran her entire party. She planned it all.
Got all the
shit together. She's like, here's exactly what I want. Here's exactly what I want to do.
Oh, I know. People were asking me, what's the next activity? And I was like, I don't know. Go talk to the princess.
Yeah, yeah.
She's in charge.
Yeah, she's definitely in charge. Holy shit. She's definitely in charge.
Hey, I will say for her age, she did really well.
She did. She did a great job.
Yeah, she had it. She had it ready to go.
Well, and then she like was like, I want to go shopping, Daddy. And I was like, I want to go shopping.
She did get birthday money.
She got a fair amount of birthday money.
Yeah, she did.
Well, and I think she miscounted her money because I was like, how much do you got? And she said like, I don't know, 60 something.
Well, I told her she had 62 because she got 55 at the party. But she told me she'd only had 7 already. So 62 and 7.
Okay. So she was wrong about what she already had.
What she already had. Yeah.
I flipped it up. I'm like, you got like almost $90 in here. What the hell, dude? I'm like, you may have more money than Daddy. So yeah. It was funny. We pulled into Target because that was one of the places she wanted to go. And we're walking in and she goes, Daddy, I think we're going to need a cart. I was like, what? She's like, oh yeah, I plan on spending all of this money. She spent every damn penny of it. And well, I think we covered the tax.
Well, and Floon had some money too.
He's so much more frugal than she is. He's like,
well, no, she was frugal because look at all she got. Holy crap. Okay, I'll agree. Do that.
For the amount of money she had, she got a lot. But Garrett was like, well, I have X amount, so I'm going to bring X amount so that I still have some other money to do other things. And then he was like, he really paced it out and he thought out what he wanted.
Brought me his change. He was like, here, Mom.
I know, he's too sweet.
And he gave me like his 57 cents and I was like, oh, it's my lucky quarters.
Oh, he was, I didn't tell you this actually. He was funny because we stopped at the gas station first.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I'm going to buy myself a soda. I'm going to, you know, because he loves Dr. Pepper. And I'm going to buy myself a Dr. Pepper. And I think he found something else.
He got a pib.
Pack of Oreos. He got the pib at Target.
Oh, got you. Okay.
Yeah. But
I obviously did not go on this shopping trip.
You did not. And when the princess was like, oh, well, I'm going to buy a drink too, you know, whatever. So we get to the counter and I'm like, I got this one. Like, yeah. I got this one. I paid. And like, he was like, almost like, I offended him.
Because you paid for it?
Yeah, he's like, I would have paid for it. And I'm like, you know, I don't mind. Like, it's not a big deal. I can do nice daddy things for you. And he's like, but I can also pay for it. And I'm like, well, I didn't mean to offend him. You know? So he's like, but yeah, I think he tried to give me his change too. I'm like, dude, that's your money. Like, it's not a big deal.
Oh, no, he gave it to me and I put it in my pocket and I was like, it's my lucky quarters.
Hey, there you go.
I learned. I'm like, there you go. If I don't take it now, he's going to bring it to me tomorrow and just like slide it probably on my desk and yeah. be like, here.
He's very sweet though. He's very sweet. So yeah, there was all of that. But that being said, we got some exciting news coming up. So we're about to hit a milestone, and I'm not going to say what it is yet, but we're super excited. So we'll probably talk about that on the next episode. I'm hoping we hit that.
Yes.
So that's coming up. We do have the Emerald Republic live show. I think we're going to have to tweak the time on that.
Yeah, we just shared that, but don't put it in your calendars just yet.
Just yet. Yeah, we got to save the date for my brother's wedding, and we apparently missed.
Forgot.
We forgot. So we're working with them. We're rescheduling, but it is still coming.
Yeah, it's still coming. It's just hopefully the weekend before or the weekend after is what we're looking at. Yeah. We should know tomorrow.
Yeah. We do have the website. It's still not 100% done, but it is looking much, much better. I still got to fix a few things on mobile, but.
And sorry, I spelled Illinois wrong. I'm going to fix that right when we're done recording.
I don't know why you're apologizing. They're never going to see it because we're going to fix it before.
Well, there's people that have already gone out there and looked.
That's true. That's true. So. Some of you have been out there. But yeah, I'm really proud because I built that little custom countdown slider thing. And it actually, like if we have...
That has the wrong date, so don't pay attention.
Currently it does, but it has countdown to the event. It's got all the event information. It's got links. So that's there. You can also, if you want to get notifications via email, not on your like phone, there is a little form on there too where you just put your email address and then we'll send updates about any information for the event. And that will actually house multiple events. So as we have those coming, and I think I'm going to use it for some of our Patreon stuff too, so that we can, cause I'd like to start doing some like actual real, like come and drink with us type things on Patreon. So we do have more coming on Patreon. If you're not signed up, please do. If you want to join the family, we will have more episodes and more stuff coming. So that is in the works.
We have a lot of episodes ready to go. It's just we're like all the rest of you just getting out of the holidays. And like we just said, we have a week before Christmas birthday and a week after Christmas birthday. So,
well, we did have a Christmas Thanksgiving combo thing for like one entire side of my family. But somebody got ill and it got canceled. So that is now coming up too. So, we all have crazy shit we got to deal with, but it's all good. We got it coming. We got it under control. We'll figure it out. We
just appreciate you guys understanding all of that.
We appreciate the hell out of you guys. You guys are fucking awesome.
You really are. Speechless. That doesn't happen.
That's true. You're not very, you're not speechless very often. Yeah.
I'm not. So you're really I'm excited.
No, but yeah. Well, and yeah, like I said, there's some exciting stuff coming up. So I'm excited and humbled and same with Amy. So
I'm so proud of myself that I did part of the website.
Yes, you've been helping big time with the website. We actually went in and we set up I created this. It's a filterable, like featured booze thing. Mm-hmm. So every alcohol that we've covered on there is on there where you can filter it by state or by type, whether it's beer, wine, mead, liquor.
Cider.
Yep. So I built that and then Amy went in and basically put in every single freaking alcohol.
Yeah,
that
it's we've caught done. Up to this. We obviously.
Well, she did it in one night.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm not going to bed till it's done.
I didn't go to bed till 2, but I had it all done. Like I said, I spelled Illinois wrong, so my apologies there. But it's caught up. Like, obviously, this episode's not on there, but I'll have it.
We'll probably just put it on tonight.
Oh, yeah. I already have the photo. I just haven't put it out there yet because the episode's not out.
Yep. So, but yeah, I mean, Amy's crushing it. And then you've been doing blogs too. So
I have.
Every episode that we put out, we're going to have a post. And we sucked at this on the last one, but I think we're already almost through like half the episodes.
Well, yeah, we're getting close and we're noticing things that need to be tweaked. So again, bear with us, but it's way better than it ever has been already.
Yep. So, I mean, obviously you can get out there, you can use it now, but I look forward to announcing the official 100% completion of it, but we will have all of our episodes available on the website. The merch shop's back up there now. So that's available.
There is a suggest merch
We have the Suggest merch. I don't have the Suggest a case yet, but that is also coming very soon. So lots of things coming. Be on the lookout.
And that's all of our business.
That's our business. So I think we should get a drink. Because I think we've been rambling for like 10 minutes. And we
10 minutes don't normally and 14 do that. Seconds.
Damn the clock. Well, there is the intro music too. So, but that being said, we're going to get to the alcohol. So today we're going to be drinking some Sip and Share wines. So that's actually the name of the winery. And they've sent us several, and they are, at least the way they sent them to us, are definitely Sip and Share. They've got us some small bottles. We got a bunch to try. I think we've got enough to do a second episode.
Yeah, we're going to do a second episode with them. We already have it planned out. So be on the lookout for that.
Exactly. But we're going to start off with the, I think it's called Intention.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a Riesling. Seven words, or it has the number seven, and then it says words, wine collection.
So they all have the number seven, and if you look, they all have a different, like, word name.
Oh, like Intention is the word name.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Intention, like Mike said, is a Riesling. Semi-sweet, light body, crisp and refreshing with aromas of citrus, fruits, and white flowers with flavors of lemon zest and apple blossom. Complements vegan and vegetarian foods, Asian food, turkey, barbecue, chicken, sushi, and salads, 13% ABV, and actually all of their wines are vegan wines, so.
That's great for all of you vegans out there. Me personally, I love a steak, but no judgment, you know what I mean?
We are going to a new state. We did not actually say what state we were going to.
Where are we going?
We are going to Indiana.
Indiana, new state. I think we're doing two in a row in a new state, aren't we?
As long as you finish your research.
I'm going to finish my research, I promise. Justin, your episode's next. I'm going to do my damn research, but it is next. So,
Justin, it was supposed to be this week, but we have a specific beer we're trying to get, and we're having a hard time getting it. Yes, so it's not Mike, it's the beer.
Yeah, they have it available, but like the store has like limited quantities and they don't keep in stock. So we're getting it. It is coming, I promise. But
so this time it's not Mike. It's
really not me this time.
It's Total Wine.
Yep. But that being said, let's try this Riesling.
All right. Cheers, boo.
Cheers.
Ooh, that was a good one.
That was a good one.
I love Riesling, by the way.
That's really good.
I love that.
Yeah, it's really, really good. It's maybe a little sweeter. But it's not like overly sweet at all. It's pretty balanced. Yeah, I like that.
Smooth again is the only word that is coming to my head, but it doesn't have that wineness to it.
Yeah, I would agree. I think you know what I mean? I think that the apple blossom, like I definitely get some apple blossom in there, and it's really, really good. So
that is a damn good Riesling.
Definitely, definitely. So what would you give it?
If I could, I can't.
Oh, we can't. They're not on the app that I shall not be named.
Not that I could find. So if you are, let me know how to find you and I will go. But I would give it like at least a 4.75, if not a 5.
I was thinking 4.75 as well. That's really, really good.
Because I love Riesling. One of my favorites is the Blush Riesling. It's a pink Riesling, but it's super hard to find. This is awesome.
All right.
I don't even miss the pink Riesling.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. This is really good. And Amy definitely goes for the sweeter.
I do. I do. Wines. They know.
I can definitely see why you like this one. I would actually rate it the same, though.
It's like you said, it's not overly sweet. It's the right amount.
Yeah, I agree. Because I moved, I don't remember how long ago it was, but I kind of shifted from whites to reds.
You did. It's been about 6 years.
Yeah, it's been a while. And I
have not made that shift.
You have definitely not. I generally don't go for the super, super sweet, but this is, I like it because it's sweet, but it's not overly, overly sweet. It's not it's not desserty. It's just,
I was going to say the same thing. It's not like a dessert sweet wine. It's just really good. It's a good light wine. And I think their description is spot on. I think it would go great with sushi or Asian food, or I can't speak for vegan food, but
true.
You know, I think their description is right on for what it would pair with.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's very, very good. Well, excellent. All right. So we got our wine. We know where we're going. We're going to Indiana. Where in Indiana are we going today anyway?
We're going to Indy, Indy, Indiana.
Oh, Indianapolis.
We're going to Indianapolis. All which, right,
cool.
Guess what, guys? We have actually been to Indianapolis.
Yes, and I actually loved Indianapolis. I had never been, and Amy's dad was living up there, and we went up
there. I've been a lot to Indy.
Yes, I'd never been, and I remember driving into Indianapolis and driving through the highway, and I'm like, when are we going to get there? And she's like, we are here. And I'm like, what? They have trees in their city? What? And I'm like, you know, because we live in the fucking...
You couldn't even tell it's downtown.
No, like, we live in the concrete jungle, and like, the trees are there, but they're like in a row, obviously replanted. Like, oh, it yeah. looked they're almost natural. Like, they were big trees. I loved it.
Well, it absolutely is not almost natural. It is natural.
Yeah. No, I loved it. I would love to go back again. So.
But you get the feel that it's a tiny city. And I remember you saying something to my dad going, you know, this is like the sixth or eighth biggest city in the
whatever
country.
Whatever it was, but it didn't feel that way.
No, I looked at him and I said, really? And I'd been there multiple times. I was like, really? Because it feels smaller than Plano.
Yeah, right.
Which is not a big city.
No, not at all.
It's a burb.
Oh, it's definitely a burb. We just watched The Burbs.
I know. That's why I said it. That's why I said it was a burb and not a suburb.
All right, cool. Well, you ready to jump in?
I'm ready. You ready?
I'm ready.
You're always ready.
Always.
So, today we're going to be talking about the murders at the Claypool Hotel.
I'll just go ahead and say I've never heard of this one either.
So, it reminds me a little bit of Lumber Baron. And I will say that the two murders are not linked in any way, but when you research them, they always show up together. So we're going to talk about both.
Lumber Baron and?
No. The murders at Claypool.
Oh, so there's multiple murders. They're not associated with the... Okay, got it.
Correct. Okay. It just reminds me of Lumber Baron. It's very similar, but this one actually has more information than Lumber Baron did.
Oh, fair enough.
So... So, the Claypool Hotel was one of the most famous and well-known hotels in the Indianapolis area in the early 1900s. There had actually been another hotel, I think called the Bates Hotel, in the exact same spot prior. It was torn down. They rebuilt the Claypool. It was really, really hyped up. It was supposed to open in 1902. But it took a whole year longer than they thought and didn't open until 1903.
Did the delay like hurt the opening of it?
No.
Oh, okay. Well,
it did good. Not. I think everybody was just so excited to see it. And we'll get into that a little bit. So the hotel stood in downtown Indianapolis, really close to the state capitol.
Oh, so it's like right in downtown. Okay.
Yeah. And due to how close it was to the Capitol, it was like the first choice of hotel for lots of politicians during that time period, if they were in Indy for whatever reason. So some of the people that actually stayed at the Claypool were Eleanor Roosevelt, Eisenhower before he became president, and Carol Lombard.
Nice. Okay.
That's Do you cool. know Carol Lombard?
I know the name. I couldn't tell you who she is off the top, but I have heard of the name.
So she was a really beautiful, famous actress. She was actually married to Clark Gable. So,
oh, I do know who Clark Gable yeah. is. Okay, so that might be where I've heard the name. Okay.
But she spent the last few nights before she died at the Claypool. And she wasn't like murdered or anything. She was in a plane crash.
Oh, okay.
But she was leaving. She was from Indiana. She had come back home. She was staying at the Claypool and she was flying back to do whatever. And her plane crashed and she died.
Gotcha.
So, but the hotel is really well known. So, like I said, before the Claypool was there, the Bates Hotel was there, and it had actually been built in 1853. It was torn down, replaced by the Claypool.
The Bates Hotel?
Yes, the Bates Hotel, like Norman Bates.
Like Norman Bates?
Yeah, that's what it was called.
Are they associated in any way, shape, or form?
No, this was way before Alfred Hitchcock was born.
I had to ask, you know.
So, no. But I had the same thought when I read it. I was like, wait, what? But in the movie, it was the Bates Motel, hotel.
I did actually know that. I did know that, but I had to ask, you know.
No, I had the same thought, so I get it. So when the Claypool opened its doors, it actually boasted that it had 495 rooms, which was like the biggest at the time in 1902-03.
I feel like they could have like gotten those last five rooms and gone for a straight 500. Like, yeah. It's like when, what was it in Allen? No, it wasn't Allen. It's Murphy.
Yeah.
Murphy, or no, I think it was Murphy. No, it might have been Wiley. I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So I guess the school didn't have, they had land set aside to build a football field. So they finally did, but they wound up like 2 or 3 feet or yards short.
Why have I never heard?
Yeah. So they had like a 97 yard instead of 100 yard football field.
Oh, I didn't. I've never heard of this. So there
was a big joke about like Murphy math or I think it was Wiley math or whatever it was. But
oh my gosh, that's funny. Yeah. I've never heard that. Well, so it had the 495 rooms, which was the biggest in the area at the time. It also had a theater, which was pretty uncommon, and one of the largest lobbies in the United States.
So, see, they could have trimmed down the lobby just a touch for those last five rooms. I'll get the 500. I'm just saying.
Well, a new idea for the time was that each room would have its own private bathroom. That was a new idea.
Really?
Yeah. So it was pretty ritzy. You got your own damn bathroom when you stayed at the Claypool.
I didn't even know that was never a thing. Like, were they like dorms in the old days where like you go and share and
yeah, it's like a hostel.
Okay. Yeah. You learn something new every day.
So of course this made the Claypool even more popular and luxurious. You get your own damn bathroom? Hell yeah.
Agreed.
And it only took them 10 years to expand to an even
500.
600 rooms.
600. Oh, okay. Well, you know.
Now, sadly, the hotel was forced to close in 1967 because there was a fire at the hotel and there was too much damage to repair it. It had been abandoned for 2 years before it was finally torn down. But a new hotel does stand in its place. The NBC Suites chain has taken over that area and
that doesn't sound nearly as awesome.
No, it doesn't. But I don't, let's be honest, these hotel people have all kinds of hotels. I don't know that it's actually the Embassy Suites or if it's just the company Embassy Suites that owns some ritzy ass hotel.
Valid.
But despite all the beauty and luxury, the Claypool Hotel became known for two notorious murders. The first one happened in 1943, and the other one happened only 11 years later in 1954. One of them is solved, one of them remains unsolved. So the first murder that happened in 1943 was the murder of, and I'm probably going to fuck this name up, but I'm going to do my best, Maoma Ridings.
Maoma Ridings.
M-A-O-M-A.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, Maoma Ridings. She was in her early 30s when she was killed. And actually, in January of 1943, so the year she was killed, she had decided to join the Women's Army Corps, which is known as the WAC. Probably WAC. But
I was going to say good for her, but I mean, the WAC? I'm joining the WAC.
Maybe it's WAC probably, but like know, when it's typed out, maybe WAC, but no, WAC.
It's the WAC, yeah.
It's WAC without the K, really.
Well, still, I say good for her. Good for her.
Well, and at this point, the WAC was actually only 2 years old, so it was brand new when she joined him.
You said it was 44?
43.
43, okay.
So the WAC was founded in 41. She joined it in 43.
Okay, so it's been a minute since I was in high school. Remind me. Now, this is coming on the heels of?
Middle
of World War II?
One, I believe. I have it typed somewhere.
It would have to be two.
Maybe it's two. I typed it somewhere. I don't know. But yes, middle of one of the World Wars.
Right. Middle of World War II.
Yeah, yeah. World War II. You're right. Shortly after joining the WAC, Maoma showed up to Camp Atterbury in Indiana for her training, whatever. They said for her post.
I'm assuming this is a military base?
Yes.
Okay.
It's about 4 miles away from Edinburgh, Indiana, which is less than an hour from Indianapolis. So she was living pretty close to Indy. She would go to Indy to party. And we'll get there in a minute. But what I found really, really interesting about this murder is that despite how long ago it happened, because again, I go back to Lumber Baron, that happened in the 70s, and there's no information really about the two girls who were killed. It's like pulling teeth to get information about that. This lady was in her 30s in 1943, and my God, let me just tell you about her.
I'm ready. Tell me about
it. The information is exploding about her. She was born on April 6th, 1910 in Abbeville, Georgia, to parents Omar and May Little. Writings was her married name, but she obviously didn't stay married to that man. She spent her childhood in Warm Springs, Georgia. Which sounds pretty freaking awesome to me.
It sounds very pleasant. Yeah. Yes, I agree.
Like, I want to go to Warm Springs, Georgia, just because of the name.
For sure. I hope we wouldn't be disappointed, but I know nothing about it.
So. I don't either, and I spent a lot of time in Georgia. Never heard of it. She was actually related to the Bullock family who helped to found Warm Springs. So she was...
She got some clout.
Yeah. She did go to college... She attended Georgia State Normal College in Athens, which I think we talked about this a long time ago, but a normal college is a teaching college.
Oh, yes. Okay. I think we have talked about that. Yeah.
They used to call teaching colleges normal colleges. I don't know why. The school was founded in 1891 and eventually became part of the Georgia State University, but when she went there, it was...
The Normal College. Yeah.
This is when she met her ex-husband, Lawrence Ridings, who was a member of the Army. They got married, but they were only married for about 2 years before they got divorced.
This sounds more like the start of a story from a modern day and age. I mean, you know, I don't know specifically, but I feel like the number of women who went to college, unless it was probably for teaching, was relatively low back then.
It was.
And she joined the military, which was a relatively newer thing back then. Now, I will say in World War One, women before that, they didn't work in any of those industrial type jobs, and they took those over because all the men were gone. So.
Well, that was World War One.
That was World War One.
World War Two.
Well, right, but what I'm saying is a lot changed. But even this seems.
She was pretty.
She seems progressive.
Thank you.
Is that the word you were?
Ahead of her time is what I was.
Same thing.
Uh-huh. She was.
Like you said, the whack had only been around for 2 years.
Yeah, the whack had only been around for two years.
They start the whack. She joins the whack. I mean, good for her. I dig it.
Well, and she went to college. And then despite her divorce, she went on to become a nurse in the Warm Springs, Georgia area. She was actually only a nurse from 1927 to 1931. But while she was a nurse, she met Franklin Roosevelt.
Oh, snap.
At the time, he was the governor of Georgia.
You know, I've heard a lot about Roosevelt. I did not realize he was the governor of Georgia.
You didn't know he was from Georgia?
I had no idea. Nope, didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a little White House in Georgia that was his house, like, when he was governor.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool.
But he was seeing her because of his polio.
I did not. Yep, okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, she was... If not his favorite, one of his favorite nurses.
I love the connection.
He even gave her the nickname Husky.
That does not seem like a very nice nickname.
Well, but the reason he gave her this nickname is because he thought she was so strong.
Okay.
It was a compliment.
I get it. I guess all I know about the word husky is I remember when I was a little kid and I had to go shop for jeans.
The husky jeans.
They had the husky was a sizing, which was a nice way of saying you're kind of a fat ass for a little kid. And I was like, damn it, you know.
I think he was more comparing her to like, and this is going to sound bad, but like the husky dog.
Yeah, no, you know I believe I mean? That.
Like,
yeah.
They're strong and agile and.
I guess. I'm not a huge Husky dog fan, but...
Aren't they the ones that run the snow?
You know, I'm not entirely sure. I think there's a couple different breeds of Huskies, because the ones that I think of are, like, super fluffy, and they usually have, like, the purple tongue, and...
That's all Husky.
Yeah, but I think... But I don't know if it's the same, or... I really don't know.
I know what you're thinking of. There's also the Alaskan Malamute, which looks...
Yeah, those are beautiful.
The
snow huskies you're talking about, they look very similar. Yeah, so, yeah. Yep.
So, I think that's where he was going with that, mm-hmm. was trying to compare her to that. Now, when she decided to leave nursing, Mayoma actually went on to work in Washington, D.C. She became an auditor for the Federal Housing Commission. And keep in mind, this is before she joined WAC.
Damn, girl, just be doing all sorts of things.
Well, and just for reference, now HUD is part of the Federal Housing Commission.
Yes, okay,
like it wasn't back then, but to give reference, that's like what she was
doing. Yeah, it makes sense, yeah.
So, like I said earlier,
I feel like it was probably, sorry I'm going to interrupt you, but I feel like it was probably more prestigious back then.
Oh, probably for sure.
Like I'm in D.C. I'm working for the federal whatever housing commission.
Let's be honest. It's not, yes, but it's not prestigious at all to even say the letters D or C these days.
I mean, we're not going to get into that because we're not that kind of podcast, but.
But you get my point, right?
Yeah.
So, like I said, in 1943, she joined the WAC. And she was actually a physical therapist for the WAC. So, like, she did lots of fucking shit. So, when she joined the WAC, obviously she's less than an hour from Indy. So, like I said earlier, where they would go to party was Indy. And she started hanging out at one hotel, but she stopped going there because at some party a bed was broken. And she was blamed for it, and they wanted her to pay for it, but she didn't want to pay for it. So they stopped going to that hotel, and they started going to the Claypool. So at the time that she was murdered, she was known by the staff at the Claypool, because she would go up there on the weekends.
So they'd just be partying in hotels?
Yeah. In their 30s, yeah.
In their 40s?
30s. She's 30s.
I was like, what? Okay.
Yeah, so the whole point is the Claypool staff was familiar with her.
Right.
They knew her. So before we go into her actual murder, let's try another wine.
All right, I'm down. Let's do it. I think let's try the Abundance. Again, we're doing that 7-word wine collection. So Abundance is the word, I guess.
Abundance is the word. From Sip and Share Wines. And this description says, sweet, light body, fruity with aromas of citrus, with flavors of juicy blood orange. Apparently, it makes a great sangria. It also complements vegan and vegetarian foods, desserts, cheeses, and spicy food. This one, though, even though it's red, it's only a 10% ABV. Right. Which, to me, seems... A little lower for a red, right?
It's a sweet red. But yeah, I mean, now I will say, so anytime you make something sweeter, which funnily enough, the last one was sweet and it was a 13% ABV. Yeah,
that's why it surprised me that this one's so much
I agree. Lower. So this one may be either super sweet or just because it is a red, it may have taken more. But yeah, obviously to make it sweet, you can't leave it in as long.
Well, and it sounds like
eating it as long.
It sounds like they use this one to help make some sangria, too. And I think that needs to be sweeter to do the sangria. I have no idea. I'm just saying that's what I think.
Fair enough. All right. Well, let's give it a try. Cheers.
Smell. Ooh.
Oh, should I smell it?
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, it's very. Yeah, you definitely get those fruit notes on there.
It's funny. I don't smell orange. I smell peach. And they say nothing about peach, but... Anybody who's listened to us knows that my nose is totally fucked.
It does smell very good. Cheers. Oh, I actually like that one even better than the last one. That one's really good.
Wow.
It's like super, super smooth.
I'm speechless.
Yeah, I actually...
That might be my most favorite red wine I've ever had.
Really?
And you know how I like the Pinot Noir.
Yeah, I do. I do. I will say for a red, I mean, this is very, very sweet for a red. It's almost more like a blush in flavor, I would say, but it's really, really good.
It's maybe in flavor, but it ain't blush.
No, but it's, God, yeah, that's insanely smooth. It's almost like you're not drinking wine.
Yeah, that's...
It's more like drinking...
kid wine.
I really don't know how to describe it, but it's almost like drinking like a juice that's for like a very mature palate. It's really, really good.
An old people juice.
I mean, I wouldn't go so far as say old people, but it's really good. I love
that.
Lot.
My God, that is delicious.
And like mine's gone. I just drank all of it.
Fuck, maybe I should have put 4 in this episode instead of 3.
That was really, really good. I like that one a lot.
All right.
That's okay. You can sip on yours. I chugged the hell out of mine.
Okay, so are you ready to go into the murder?
Yeah, definitely. Let's jump back in.
Okay. So on August 28th, 1943, Mayoma checked into the Claypool Hotel like she had so many other times. She checked into room 729. Rumors about that night said that she was on some sort of military whack leave. Sorry, oh my God. Couldn't help myself.
That was bad. Okay.
And she was supposed to meet some unknown date at the Claypool that night.
Booty call?
Maybe. We don't know.
Okay.
Much later in the evening, the front desk received a phone call from a female guest that was not Mayoma, but this guest said that she heard another female screaming and that it sounded like the screams were coming from room 729, Mayoma's room. However, it sounded like it was coming from that area, but she also said it may have been coming from a different soldier's room, a male soldier who was also staying there.
Okay.
Either way, a staff member did go to investigate, but he didn't go to Mayoma's room. He went to this other soldier's room. And when he showed up there, and keep in mind, this room was on the same floor as 729, right? Okay. So he went to this soldier's room. When he got there, the room was empty, and this male soldier had already checked out of the hotel, and nothing else was done because there was nothing suspicious.
Well, if he wasn't there, then obviously the screams didn't come from that room. Why didn't they check some of the other rooms and just make sure everything was copacetic?
Because it was the 20s, question mark? 40s?
40s, yeah.
40s, yeah. Yeah,
you're a little off there, but yeah, okay.
So they didn't do any of that. But about 8 p.m. that night, a hotel worker named Lillian, one of the housekeepers, and her last name varies from source, so we're just going to call her Lillian. She had gone to do her normal housekeeping rounds, and she showed up to Mayoma's room, 729. She knocked on the door, and there was no answer, so she went in, and that's when she discovered Mayoma on the floor in a puddle of blood. Police were called, and investigators Faye Davis and Noelle Jones came to investigate. And I thought this was interesting because to me those sound like female names. But this is the 40s, so it kind of surprised me. And I don't know if they're male or female. They just, Faye at least, for sure, to me.
Faye definitely sounds like a female name.
Yeah, but regardless, that was just my...
So you were surprised that both investigators, you're making an assumption, are female?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the 40s.
Yeah, I wouldn't think there'd be any female investigators in the 40s. I could be totally wrong about that, but that doesn't... Yeah, it doesn't sound right.
Yeah, it sounded a little odd to me. And like, I know Noelle can be interchangeable, but Faye, to me, is...
They definitely both sound female.
Yeah. Exactly.
I agree with you.
Anyway, regardless, they did examine the scene, and they found that Mayoma was dressed in her army gear, which included her standard WAC shirt. And of course, because she was a woman, she was wearing a skirt with specific stockings underneath her skirt. We're talking about the 40s.
Well, this is military. So, I mean, even if they're requiring them to wear a skirt or whatever, they have a very standardized, like, yes, here's what you wear, and that's your uniform. So,
correct. And that what police did say was that her clothes were on. They were a little disheveled, like, not, for lack of a better word, not military. You know what I mean? Not military.
Yeah, and there's a term for it, and I can't think of it. But yeah. Yes,
but you know what I mean.
Yeah, they're supposed to be basically perfect.
Yeah, and so her clothes were on, but not the way they should have been. And police did find some sort of undergarment nearby. They didn't specify what it was. They just said it was an undergarment that had been covered in blood. Mayoma had multiple stab wounds to the face, her arms, her throat.
Stabbed in the face?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But that was not her cause of death. The police found nearby her body a broken whiskey bottle. And her autopsy showed that the cause of death had been blunt force trauma. So what police began to believe was that the bottle of whiskey was the weapon that actually killed her.
So wait, so was she clubbed with a bottle of whiskey, died, and then stabbed in the face and all that shit after the fact?
The theory was that the bottle was intact when Mayoma was attacked, and that he hit her over the head with the bottle, and once he did that, he used the bottle to do all the slashing.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, yeah. So, basically, he killed her and then cut her up after the fact with the bottle he used to murder with.
That's what they believed.
That's fucked up. Yeah,
that's what they believed. And the newspapers of the time would go on later to describe Mayoma as a beautiful, patriotic woman. But they did describe her as a divorcee and...
Which obviously didn't look good back then.
Yeah, and she was a bit of a partier, obviously.
Which didn't look good back then.
Police were able to confirm that it was Mayoma who had bought the whiskey. And she had also bought some Coca-Cola. I would say Coke, but you would take it the wrong way. Coca-Cola. presumably to make drinks. So... she bought this whiskey, she bought the Coke, she was making drinks. Witnesses who were interviewed thought that they had heard some male soldier, which people now believe are that missing male soldier from earlier, and a woman arguing.
I'm curious, how would they know that it was a male soldier? Like, a male I get, like a male voice and a female voice arguing.
So when they called, they didn't say, oh, I hear a male soldier. It was a male and female. But because the hotel knew that there was another male soldier on the same floor that had just randomly disappeared.
Okay.
They assumed that it was the two of them.
Makes sense.
And like I said earlier, that other woman had called to tell the front desk to go investigate. And they tried, but kind of half-assed it. Hotel staff stated that they had actually gone to Mayoma's room earlier that evening, and a bellboy claimed that he had seen her with another dark-haired woman. And he said that both women seemed to be in good spirits and that nothing seemed to be out of the ordinary, and that Mayoma even tipped him really well. He described this dark-haired woman as really pretty and dressed all in black. He said that this woman didn't say anything to him while he was there. Police would later think that maybe this was a man disguised as a woman. I don't know why they thought that. Maybe because she didn't speak.
I mean, that would make more sense today. Yeah. I don't know that. I mean, I could see that happening, but that doesn't, like, unless there was a reason for that, yeah. I can't see why that would be the case.
Well, right? And there was no reason given for it. It was just thrown out there that police thought this may have been a man dressed like a woman. So all I can think is maybe because this woman didn't speak, they assumed that she wasn't speaking because she would sound like a man. But again, that's just me. Because honestly, I don't think this dark hair woman existed. That's just my opinion.
Or she could have just been a dark haired woman in the area, but not necessarily with Naoma.
Mayoma, sorry. But the bellboy said when he went into Mayoma's room, this dark-haired woman was in the room.
Oh, in the room. Oh, okay. All
but right. she didn't that. Speak to him.
Gotcha.
Which is why I'm saying that.
So you think the bellboy's making some shit up?
I do.
Oh, okay.
I do.
All
right. Now, obviously, they searched Mayoma's room, her purse, everything. It was actually discovered that in her purse, Mayoma had less than 40 cents, which obviously wasn't even enough to cover the cost of her room.
So she didn't prepay her room like she was just going to go party and ditch out or what?
I don't think it's that. I think in the 40s, you didn't have to prepay. You paid when you left. So they weren't implying anything about Mayoma. What they were implying was that when they searched her purse, she only had this 40 cents. So then investigators began to believe that the motive for her murder was robbery and that somebody had stolen the money.
Well, and that actually makes sense because you said the bellboy said she tipped him really well.
Yeah.
So she obviously had money.
Exactly. Exactly. So they didn't think she was trying to
stiff the hotel or anything.
Yeah, it was just
okay. That makes more sense. Okay.
If she's tipping if she's tipping the dude really well, she's obviously a well-known patron of this hotel. She's never stiffed them before. It was a little shocking that she only had 40 cents in her purse.
All right, that makes sense.
Yeah. Now they did initially question Mayoma's friend Ruth, who I didn't name her earlier, but I talked about how she would party with some people. Ruth was the one that she would party with quite frequently, but for whatever reason, this weekend, Ruth didn't come with her. Probably because she was supposed to go on a date. Just guessing. But Ruth had dark hair, and she often wore all black. So when the bellboy described this woman, police thought it might be Ruth. She claimed that she was visiting relatives in Mississippi the night that Mayoma was murdered and that she had left the army and decided to become a firewoman. So they were able to research that and determine that she was not this mysterious woman in black.
So her alibi checked out.
Yeah, but she knew Mayoma really well, so even though her alibi checked out, the police kind of really relied on her to try to help figure out what was going on.
Get some of that background information about the victim and things like that. No, that totally, yeah.
And she told police that Mayoma had written a letter to testify against another male soldier for some reason. The reason for this testimony is unknown. But according to Ruth, this soldier was so upset that Mayoma was going to speak out against him that he was who killed her.
I mean, that's definitely motive.
Right. And so they did check this soldier out, but his alibi also checked out for the night of Mayoma's murder. Ruth went on to say that she was surprised that Mayoma would have even bought that Coke, a cola. She said, yeah, Mayoma drank whiskey, but she drank her shit straight.
She was a straight whiskey girl, yeah.
She's like, I don't even know why she would buy this Coca-Cola. She don't drink it with
props shit. Props to her. Straight whiskey. I'm all about it.
Right. And the bellboy had kind of implied that maybe this woman in black was a lesbian thing. To the point where Ruth said, no. Mayoma was definitely only interested in men, and she would not have had this mysterious woman in black in her room for that purpose. So, of course, police began to follow any lead they can get, right? At this point, they're at a loss. There's the missing soldier. There's the soldier Ruth brought up who has an alibi. Ruth has an alibi. Everybody has an alibi.
Except for the missing soldier. They haven't found him.
They haven't found the missing soldier. So they run into this 18-year-old boy named Richard Fear, and he kind of confessed to Mayoma's murder. He said that he slashed her throat, but he didn't think she had died, which, upon first looking at her murder, it fits, right? Because she had the slashes or whatever. But they listened to the rest of his story, and the details did not match what actually happened. And he actually did go in front of a judge, and he at first said that he did it, but then he eventually told the judge that he confessed to Mayoma's murder because he was in Indianapolis that night and his friends were teasing him about being there and like giving him a hard time, like, oh, you were in Indy that night that girl was killed. And he just like confessed to shut them up. Which is fucking...
That makes no sense.
Yeah, it's weird as shit, right?
That makes no sense.
It's... Yeah, I agree. But obviously they figured out this Richard boy did not...
I like his name, though. Richard Fear.
Yeah, it's a good name, right?
It's a good name. It's a good name, yeah.
So when police began investigating Mayoma's murder, they actually initially thought the killer had tried to hide her in the closet of the hotel. Now, obviously, we know she wasn't found there, but they did find a blood clot in the closet.
A blood clot.
That's what it was described as. So they thought maybe he had tried to put her there and it failed, and so he moved her back out.
Okay.
Obviously, nothing to confirm or deny that, but they did find blood in the closet. Another investigator believed that Mayoma had known her killer. And the housekeeper that found her said that the window in the room was open, which helped support that theory. Because they basically, in the 40s, were saying that if she hadn't known her attacker, she would have screamed, yelled, freaked out. And because her window was open, somebody would have heard it. So they believed that she knew her attacker and didn't scream or yell, right?
I mean, I get that. I will say, so her room number was 702?
729.
So, I mean, I'm assuming that's seventh floor.
I would think.
So with the window open, yeah, I mean.
Well, and they only had 600 rooms, so how did they number their rooms?
Good point. I didn't think about that. I didn't either
until right now.
Okay, so, well, maybe it was by floor.
I don't, yeah.
Because a lot of them do that. They'll do, you know, floor one is, you know.
That's true.
So whatever.
That's true.
I would assume this is the seventh floor. I'm not stating
this
fact.
I would too.
But from the seventh floor, you may not hear a scream, or it may be so faint you wouldn't know exactly where it came from. So
exactly, but in the 40s, they didn't have the DNA and all of that, so I get where the thought process was, right?
Sure.
Mayoma's murder became known as the WAC murder and was one of the most well-known unsolved murders in Indianapolis for a long time, like even into probably our lifetime.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because it was never solved, probably until, like, the Delphi murders, and I'm sure that...
Overtook?
Yeah. But I will say at least they have caught that guy now. They've never caught Mayoma's murder, so... A year later, in 1944, police thought they may have actually found the lady in black that the bellboy had told them about. Her name was Wyona Kidd, and she was actually only 23. Her ex-husband told the Indianapolis police that Wyona had killed Mayoma with a whiskey bottle. She did obviously match the description of the woman in black, and she had moved to Tennessee since Mayoma's death. So the police went there, brought her back to Indiana for questioning, and she did admit that she knew Mayoma. But she very quickly insisted that her ex was lying. And then her ex went on to claim that he had killed Mayoma.
What?
Yeah.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah. But then he retracted his statements. So police are confused, right? Like, you're blaming your ex. Now you're saying you did it. You retract your statement. But then he confessed again. He even went so far as to say that he had evidence that would corroborate that he had committed the murder.
But then he never produced that, I'm assuming?
Well, he claimed to have pieces of the whiskey bottle and other evidence that he had buried near a river in Indiana. He told the police where he buried it. The police went there and they found nothing.
So this guy is obviously either A, full of shit, or seeking attention, or being a douchebag.
All
of the above, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got some mental issues, I don't know.
Now, despite the fact that they could not find this buried evidence, the man did later go to court. And he actually asked a judge to let him plead guilty to second-degree murder.
What?
For Mayoma's murder. Maybe he convinced himself he did it. I don't know who. But due to lack of evidence, the judge denied his request. He's like, no, I'm not going to let you.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
And then the judge went on to say that two other men had confessed to Mayoma's murder.
Damn, people just be confessing all over the place.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was another suspect named Robert Watts. He was 25, and he had murdered another woman in a very similar fashion to how Mayoma was murdered. And a dark-haired woman was seen leaving this woman's home. So there seemed to be a connection. But despite all of these connections, they couldn't 100% place this Watts guy at the murder scene. So he was never affirmatively linked to Mayoma's murder, but he was executed for the murder of the other woman that was killed in a very similar way.
Because they knew he actually did that.
Yeah, they knew he did that. They just couldn't, despite the similarities in the two cases, they couldn't say 100% that he killed Mayoma.
Well, lots of cases have similarities, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's the same individual who did it.
Exactly. So in 1949... Mayoma's case was already considered to be a cold case. In 1949, the police tried to spark interest back into the case by offering a $5,000 reward, which, let's be honest,
that's a lot of money back then, yeah.
Yeah. It didn't work. Nobody freaking cared.
Is it that nobody cared or nobody had any information?
I don't even think anybody tried to bring information. Like, I think everybody had just gotten over it. Like,
it was old news, yeah.
Yeah, it
was
old.
Which is sad.
But it was also 1949, and they're just moving on to other things, you know?
Yeah.
But even in 2013, the police were still trying
good for them for keeping on it, you know?
Yeah, but they still haven't solved it. So, despite all we know about Mayoma, we don't know who killed her. And we probably won't, sadly.
So we got another unsolved on our case. So this is the unsolved case.
This is the unsolved case. And so now we're going to talk about the solved case, which was the second murder at the Claypool Hotel, which happened somewhere between July 15th and July 18th of 1954. So, what, 11 years later?
Yeah.
Dorothy Poor was only 18 years old from Clinton, Indiana, which is about an hour and a half from Indianapolis. And she had traveled to Indianapolis to take an exam to become a typist, because we're talking about the 50s, right? So she's 18, she's trying to become an adult. So she goes to Indy to take this exam and stays at the Claypool. We do know that she was born on August 21st, 1935 in Illinois. We don't know a whole lot about her, but we do know that she had traveled to Indy on the 15th, and she was supposed to arrive back home in Clinton on July 17th. She didn't show up. Oh, and actually, I'm going to correct myself. I said she was staying at the Claypool. She wasn't. She was not a registered guest. She just showed up there. So like I said, she was supposed to arrive back home in Clinton on July 17th. She didn't show up. And on July 18th, again, a maid at the Claypool discovered a dead body. This time, it obviously was Dorothy's body that was found, and her body was found in room 665. It had been shoved into a dresser drawer.
What?
Yeah.
What? Her whole body got shoved into one dresser drawer.
She's actually known as, the dresser drawer murderer.
What?
Yeah.
How? I get, being, young and skinny. I mean, she's 18, but how the fuck did they get her in one dresser drawer?
Well, and in a minute, I'm going to tell you how big this dresser drawer was.
Okay. All right.
But when they did find her body, it was already partially decomposed. Now, it was a small dresser. It was 48 inches by 24 inches.
That's 2 feet by 4 feet.
It's tiny. It was only 10 inches deep.
What?
And this is where they found her body.
How?
I don't know, but that's where they found
her. And she was still in one piece?
Yeah.
How?
She wasn't nude, but she only had her bra, panties, and a slip on. And the rest of her clothes were found in the same room, hidden in the air vent.
Interesting. This is the weirdest fucking murder I think I've ever heard of. Okay, continue.
Like I said, Dorothy had not rented the room. She wasn't a registered guest. A man named Jack O'Shea had rented the room. But the address he provided for check-in was a fake New York City address. They don't even know if Jack was his real name. He had paid for the room 665 for July 15th and 16th. He had actually given staff a license plate number, which I was kind of surprised to find out they did that in the 50s, but he had.
Obviously, they're not taking ID.
Well, shockingly, the license plate he gave them was fake and belonged to a different couple who was staying at the hotel and was like...
he just went out and found a random car.
Yeah, basically,
Here's a license plate number for you.
Yeah. Because of the amount of decomposition on Dorothy's body, they couldn't actually nail down her time of death, which is why I said it was over a three-day period amount of time, right?
Yeah.
They couldn't actually even confirm how she died because there were no signs of violence.
She's shoved in a 2x4 foot drawer.
But other than that, there were no defensive wounds. There was nothing to 100% say what caused her death.
I mean, that's fair.
And so medical examiners believed that it was likely she was suffocated because of that. They believed that she had died sometime Friday evening, July 16th, which would mean it was at least 36 hours before she was discovered, if not more, if they had her time of death right. But in this case, it only took police a week to arrest a suspect. They arrested 25-year-old Victor Lively, who was from Missouri. And they actually had fingerprints and handwriting samples that led them to Victor. And when they found him, he confessed.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And he said that he killed her because he was upset that he wanted to sleep with her, and she said no. So, he was convicted of Dorothy's murder and sentenced to life in prison.
Damn. They found him quick, right?
In a week. They found him within a week.
Damn. How? They had nothing to go on, really.
They had his fingerprints and handwriting samples.
Oh, okay. That's right. Yeah.
Which led them to him, and then when they showed up, he just said, I did it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And again, he said that he killed her because she wouldn't have sex with him. He was sentenced to life in prison, but he was actually paroled in 1980. Which, I mean, he spent a long fucking time in prison.
So he got life, but it wasn't without parole.
It wasn't without parole, and he was paroled in 1980, but he died less than a year after he was paroled. So,
I mean, I have nothing to say about that. Leave it right there.
Same. And I said this early on, obviously there's a lot more information about Mayoma's murder. That's all the information about Dorothy's murder.
They did not ask him how he fit her in that damn drawer.
They did not.
That would have been the first question. It would have been like,
how the fuck did you do that, sir? How'd
you
get her
in the drawer? Oh, and by the way, you did that, right? Like, it was you? Like, I'd have asked about the drawer first. That would have been like...
But they didn't ask him, and they've gone on to say that they believe that there is absolutely no connection between the two murders.
No, it doesn't sound like
No, no. Well, I mean, this guy was 25 in 54, so in 43 he'd have been 13.
Yeah, probably definitely not that guy.
I mean we've seen 13-year-olds kill, but yeah, it'd be a stretch.
It
would be a stretch. So they're not related, but they are known as the Claypool murders, and a lot of people believe that the hotel just had bad luck. They had Mayoma die, they had Dorothy die, and then shortly after, the hotel caught on fire.
I don't think deaths in hotels are as rare as you would think. I think they probably happen a lot. I just don't think you hear about them. I don't think hotels would want you to know about them, because then they wouldn't be able to rent their damn rooms out. So
I think it's... unless it's something crazy, like finding a body in a drawer. An
18-year-old girl stuffed in a 2x4 drawer. Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
An unsolved, or like Alyssa Lamb. Like, unless it's something like that, you don't necessarily hear about it.
Yeah, right. Well, and in that, like in the Alyssa Lamb, in that case, she, what did they say? They said... They just thought she, like, climbed up in there, right? Like,
they don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That one's weird, too, but...
There was no evidence of murder, but at the same time, everybody's like, how would she do that to herself? Like,
I gotta go back and watch that one again.
Yeah,
That was an interesting documentary, for sure. And if you haven't checked that out, it's on Netflix, I think?
I think so.
Yeah.
But, like, for lack of a better example, and this is obviously complete fiction and... not really on the same level, but watch 1408.
Oh, that's a good movie. Totally fictional.
It's totally fictional. It's a Stephen King short story, but the way the hotel handles that shit in that movie, I think is absolutely how any hotel
would handle it. It doesn't matter whether you have one, you know, death, whether it's natural or not, or you have, you know, 30 murders in your hotel, like, you're going to try to cover that up and keep it on...
Well, and again, with the Alyssa Lamb, she was like number 40. Richard Ramirez lived there. Like,
oh, yeah. They had all sorts of... Yeah.
They kept it under wraps until that happened.
I had never heard any of that until I think I watched that documentary. Yeah,
same. But there gets a point where... You know, there's just too much shady shit happening.
Well, nowadays, everybody wants to make a documentary about something.
Yeah,
you know,
that too. And this is the 40s and 50s. And
yeah, exactly.
But I thought it was interesting. And like I said early on, it reminded me of Lumber Baron. But
yeah, a little bit, yeah.
It was a lot more, had a lot more closure in this one than I did in Lumber Baron.
I think it's weird that, like, there was so much information about the first one, and the second one to me was a crazier story. Yeah. Like, that's just fucking weird, but there's nothing to it.
But the first girl was a prominent, well-known...
Right, yeah, so obviously there's going to be more press surrounding her, so yeah. All right, well, very good. Well, that was really good. I liked that. That was...
It's a little different.
Stories I've never heard before, but they're both really good.
A little different.
Yeah.
That I'd throw a loop, take you for a loop, throw a stick. What's the...
We got to work on that.
Yeah, what's... There's a thing I'm...
Throw you for a loop?
Sure, that works. That's not
okay,
where...
Okay, I don't know what you're...
Throw
a
wrench in it. That's what I was
saying. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. All right. I knew you were going somewhere. Yeah. I just didn't know where, so...
Obviously, neither did I. It took me a minute to get there.
Exactly. All right, very good. Well, let's do our last wine, and then we will tell you guys goodbye. But we're going to do The Conjure. I kind of like the name of that one.
And this is the red, right?
Yeah, so this is a Old Vine Zinfandel.
Okay, so I like The Conjure because it reminds me of The Conjuring.
Good movie.
it's one of my favorite movies. But it says it's a dry, full body, fruit forward, obviously red wine. I think you said it was a Zinfandel.
I did.
It has aromas of raspberries and peppercorns with flavors of dry herbs, vanilla, chocolate, black cherry, and blackberry. Again, compliments those vegans. Burgers, pasta, grilled food, lamb chops, seafood, and pork, and is 13% ABV.
Everything you just listed made me think of vegans.
Well, I just glossed over the vegan.
you're like steak and lamb chops.
It says compliments vegan and vegetarian foods, burgers, pasta, grilled food.
Yeah, they should rework that sentence, but all right, let's give it a try.
I think what they're saying whether you're vegan, vegetarian, or carnivore.
Definitely a carnivore, but
you
yeah.
will like this wine, I think is what they're saying.
All right, well, cheers.
Oh, it smells complex and earthy.
So that is definitely a full-bodied red, for sure.
I was about to say, I haven't tasted it yet. I was doing the whole...
You should go ahead and take a taste.
It smells like fire.
You can do it.
I love Zinfandel. It was my first red wine before Pinot Noir.
Okay.
Ooh, it is just like a campfire in my mouth.
It is a little bit, yeah. It's very good. Yeah, it's definitely a very full-bodied
I love that. Red.
I think it's kind of interesting that, so you like Zinfandels. I've heard you say you do.
I love, that's the first red wine I ever had.
It's funny, I don't drink a lot of Zinfandels. I do very much like this, but...
I didn't know Zinfandel was a thing. I knew white Zinfandel was. Because that's what my mom drank in the Franzia box.
In the Franzia box.
But I had a friend bring a bottle of Zinfandel over to my house when I lived in Melissa. And I didn't even like wine. And I was like, okay, I'm going to try this nastiness. Damn good. I love Zinfandel. I just forget that I love Zinfandel.
Yeah, no, this one's very good. I would say out of the three we've tried, this wouldn't be my first choice, which is funny because I am more partial to reds, but I agree with you that that campfire in your mouth.
I love it.
I totally agree with it. I think it is a very, very good.
I think they should put on there that it would go well with s'mores.
It would go great with s'mores. I agree with you. You sit around a campfire, make s'mores, maybe throw
it's got that
some
chocolate.
Kebabs.
Yeah.
Get some like steak and lamb kebabs and put those around a campfire. Hell yeah, that would be.
It's got the chocolate.
Oh, fuck, now I'm hungry.
It's got the chocolate mixed with the vanilla with the fruit, but the fruit is kind of hidden. The fruit part is hidden.
Yeah, it is. It's in there, but yeah, it's I agree. You get a lot of that earth and it's very, very good.
I love this, which is so funny because I would say this is probably my favorite.
Well, we have very different palates, but I do like it. It's very good.
We do. And they wanted me to tell them which one was our favorite. Now I don't know what to say because we're torn.
So I would say for you, your favorite would be this one. I think the sweet red, I think, was actually, funnily enough, my favorite.
Your favorite?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we have a few more to try. So I'm interested to see after we try those where I stand after that.
Well, so I'm going to tell them.
I'm really looking forward to the red blend. I think I'm going to really like that one.
Well, I loved the Riesling too.
The Riesling was great.
I'm really impressed with all three of them. I think it's, if you are in Indy, go check out Sip and Share Wines.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have to say a big thank you to them. We'll probably do one more episode. We usually space them out. So we'll have another one coming out.
It'll be a minute. We have our schedule because of our 200s.
I know we actually have a schedule of what's coming out. So, but that being said, we want to thank them again. We want to thank you guys for tuning in again. Obviously you can follow us on
All the things.
Like we said, we've got the new website. You can join Patreon. We got more coming out there. I think that's it, really.
The Patreon will be coming soon because the editor needs to make money.
True. And we owe them. So I think they're going to be getting two or three like in a row here pretty quickly.
Well, they just got one, but we did promise you another one before the first of the year.
But holidays. So they're coming. Yeah. So,
but we love you.
We're going to show you extra love this
month. Yeah, we got so many things ready to go.
Truth.
So many plans and things.
That's right. But that being said, we love you all, and we will check you next time.
We love you all.
Oh, did I steal your we love you all?
It's okay. You can love them all,
I do love them all.
We can love them all together. But the point is, we love you all.
Laters. Thank you for joining us here at Blood and Barrels. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Blood and Barrels. You can also follow us on Twitter at Blood Barrels Pod.
Follow us on all the things.
You can also listen to Blood and Barrels on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or most anywhere where you enjoy your podcast.
If you enjoy listening, please head over to Apple Podcasts and rate, review, and subscribe. For more information about the show, you can check us out at bloodandbarrels.com.
If you want to help support the show and become a part of the Blood and Barrels family, you can join us on Patreon and get access to additional content. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.